Just Joel, where are you? I saw you just now. You were on the drums, but now I can't see you. There you go. Yeah, I just felt this morning, just the Lord's, like it felt like in worship, all I heard was the drums. And it was a good hearing. And so I just want to encourage you and just say to you, keep on allowing God to work through you. Like it might feel like you just get drowned out by everything else, but just felt like something of the Lord on the drums this morning, and just felt like I could see you worshiping. And so, well done. And I pray for more. And so maybe if some of the guys just around him, Kobus, Yaku, all those guys, just lay hands on him. Let's just pray for him. Father, we want to just come and trust for Joel, God, a greater sense of confidence, God, of what you are doing in him, God. And I pray for a greater way of expressing what you want to do through him, God. And I pray, Lord, that as he hits those drums, that the people would experience something of your heartbeat beating into theirs, God. And so we thank you for Joel. We thank you, God, for the work that you're doing in him. We thank you for him and Michelle and just who they are and what they add to us as a body. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. So, over the last few weeks, we've been touching on the family of God and just what this looks like. And 2 weeks ago, I spoke about some of the word pictures that Scripture uses for the church. And there's the flock, the church is like the flock, or the church is like a body. But then there comes this word of the family of God. And it's not like the family of God is just a word picture to describe a sense of something. But actually, it's the reality. The reality is that we are the family of God. I want you to just think about that again. It's like we are the family of God. We are his children. It's not like we are like his children. No, no, we are his children. And so unlike any other picture, the family of God is not just a picture, but it's reality. And that in us brings a great sense of joy. There's a great sense of hope. There's a great sense of we don't have to wallow in everything that's going bad. No, we are the family of God. We are God's children. And he's fighting on our behalf. And he's working on our behalf. So we can lean into him because he is strong. And there's no one, like we sang this morning, there's no one like him. And he is our Father. He's my Father. It's not just the thing of the little boys on the school playground that goes, my dad has got a bucky that can drive over this rock. And then the next one. No, no, but my dad has got a bucky that can drive to space, you know. And it's like, no, no, it's not just like that. No, no, our Father is the Father of all fathers. He is the King of kings. He is the God who created all things, and he holds all things in his hand. And I am his child, and he has made me his own special possession. That is reality, more than anything else. And so that's beautiful. Amen. And then came Milo, lovely Milo. He said that he's from Durbanville, AM. I just wanted to correct him on that, and hopefully he listens to this recording. He's from Pinehurst, AM. Yeah, so we're doing a little bit of a dig. They've got a slight identity crisis there, it seems like. I'm just joking. We love them. But he spoke about the waiting in waiting. And the waiting for Jesus that is coming back to not just to make us fully his own and show fully his kingdom. And while we are waiting for him to come, we are called to serve. We are called to wait on one another. Serve one another as the body. Called to serve those who are lost and are seeking. Like God has given us work to do. And in that, there's a joy. There's in the waiting. Amen? And for all of us here this morning, and that's kind of like where I want to kick off this morning. For all of us here this morning, God has a plan and a purpose. And I know we hear this over and over. And I know that in each and every one of our hearts, there's not one person in this room that is sitting here and going like, I don't want to do anything for God. There's not one. No, all of us have a sense of going like, God, would you use me? God, would you do something through me? But then, as we kind of step out and live out, there's oftentimes the things in the world and things that we're faced with that causes us to actually step back from what God is wanting us to do, because there might be sin and there is discouragements and there is disappointments and there's places where we feel just like we don't have what it takes, and then we step back from it. And this morning, I want to give us that place of where we can go, actually, God has called each and every one of us to be a vessel of use in His house, of honorable use. And that vessel, He wants to use it for good works. It's a vessel in His hand. Amen. And so, Father, can we pray? Not Father, can we pray, but Father, can we pray? Let's close our eyes. Father, I want to thank You this morning that, like Brenda said, Your word is living and active, God. And I pray this morning that where situations and even actions in our lives have caused us to see You wrongly, or have caused us to shrug back, or to not make ourselves available for You, I pray this morning that through Your word, that You will come and that You will enable us and activate us, God, to be vessels that is in Your hand, and it's ready for use for Your good works that You have set out for us. And so I pray that for us this morning, God, that You will come and do a work. Because no man can do this, God. It's only You and Your Spirit, God, this morning that can come and set free. And that's what we pray for in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. So, like I said this morning, for me, I really believe that each and every one of us here, that God has placed us here and He wants to use us. There's not one of us that is unusable. But it's not actually just about doing stuff. It's actually about us being available for God to do stuff with us. Do you hear that? It's not about us doing. It's about God is the one that does what needs to be get done. But it's for us to find that place of where we are in His hands and He's able to use us. And so this morning, that's my prayer for us, and I want us to dig right into it. And we're going to read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 to 22. Now, just a quick thing about 2 Timothy. As I was reading through it, a cool thing about this book is like it's such a good book for our day and age. Because the global message of 2 Timothy is this, that regardless of the things that you're facing, regardless of what things look like, regardless of how things are going around you, Jesus is the solid, firm foundation that you can stand on. And He is faithful and He is true to accomplish what He has set out. That's the global message for us as believers. And so even over this last while, I was so excited to watch the opening ceremony of the Olympics. But we were on leaders camp, and so like the Friday evening, I thought, let me quickly just, after everyone's gone to bed, let me just see. And I was so tired, I was like, I'll get it later. Only to wake up on Saturday morning and see everything that has gone down. And how they blasphemed and just all the inappropriate things. And then it's so easy to see these things and go, oh my word, the world is going down. And that is the truth. The world is going down. It's supposed to go down. The world is supposed to end. If the world does not end, it means we will not get to Jesus. Amen? The world needs to come to an end. And it's so easy for us to look at that and then realize or think like, oh, there's no hope. No. It's actually God is faithful. And like we've heard so many times, that at the right time, He comes in and He steps in and He brings what needs, and He does what needs to get done. And He saves those who He need to save. And He brings a way for all of us to come into His presence and into what He has set out for us. So for us at this moment, we don't need to be hopeless. No. Because we don't judge according to the situation around us. We look at who He is and we trust in Him. And His word is faithful. His word will come to pass. What He has set out will come to pass. It won't return void to Him. It will come back having yielded a yielding. Is that, I don't know if that's how you say it, but that's how I did say it. Amen. And the beautiful thing about this is we are part of God's family. And so regardless of what's going on, we can trust in Him. And so even if it looks like our bodies are falling away and being cut away and being burnt away, we know this, that the one thing that they can't take is our spirit that is within God. And that is eternal. Amen? And so we are safe. So we can stand in the midst of the fire, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We can stand in the midst of the fire and smile and know that whether God saves us out of this fire or not, it doesn't matter. But eternally, we are His, and we are safe. Amen. And so that's the global message of 2 Timothy. And so I want to kind of get you into 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, and we're going to read through the verses. Work hard.
Yeah.
Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker. One who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are His. And all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Run from anything, and this is so beautiful how it states this. It says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteousness, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Beautiful. This picture of utensils, that some are gold, some are silver, but then some are clay and wood. And I mean, we all have those utensils, I mean. We all have those things that you only bring out when it's the, you know, the nice people, the people that you want to kind of impress. And there's some people that you just go like, just put all of those things away. So I remember growing up. For some of the younger guys, you won't remember this because I don't think it's like this anymore. But there was always a living room or a lounge that was there for the dominee and the real special or fancy friends that we wanted to kind of like impress, you know. And if you step your foot on that carpet or in that room, it's like my mom was not home, but she would come home and she would go, who was here? Who was here? I can smell it. You were here. And you've gone like, so it was like this forbidden place. And you kind of just want to put your foot in there and just feel like, I feel like a king right now. And then there would be the tea set that would come out if the dominie comes, you know. And then I always loved those moments when the dominie comes. I don't know if my parents enjoyed it that much, but what I enjoyed is there was this special pot of sugar. And you go, like, special sugar? Yes. I don't know if you get it still anymore. But there was, like, white sugar. And then there are these colorful little crystal sugars that was kind of in it. It's like a rainbow sugar kind of thing. But there's just enough to make it look really expensive, you know, the colorful. It wasn't just colorful. And I always loved it. It felt like that sugar was the sugar of kings. Okay? And so we have these things that we present, and it's those moments that people come into it, and then we go, like, these people are important, and so we put those things out. But it's quite interesting for me that even in that sense, how it actually speaks of how we in church do things. Like the dominie, I mean, God loves all people. In front of God, he doesn't care about titles. He doesn't care about elder, lead elder, deacon, community leader, or just saint. For him, it's all his children. But so easily in these things, we can put someone on a pedestal and we all of a sudden make them this flashy utensil. And we think like, hey, that's something I need to aspire to. And so even in our way of doing things and having our lounges that, like, the carpet is clean, the couches look like they've been ironed, and there's always like this beautiful smell. It's like, and those things were kept for special moments. We do the same thing with people. And even though for us here, I believe we are a different culture and a different way of doing things, even still here today, we look at elders and people that's standing at the front and we go, because they're standing there at the front, they must be more important. But who am I? I'm just the guy that comes in and I just help to clean the toilet, or I help to share, to just pour the coffee or sweep the floors. You know, that's not for me. I'm not that guy. But in my heart, I'm desiring to be there. And I'm thinking, like, when I get there, then God will use me. And this morning, I just felt like for us as a church, like, I want to address that into us. Because I believe God sees things very differently. He sees things very differently. And so if we go back to verse 21, it says this. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. So it's not actually about the doing as much as it is about who is doing it and using me or you, us. That's the important part. And in this, God gives all of us the opportunity to be utensils or vessels for honorable use. And some are going to be a golden spoon. When you look at Enrico, he's like a golden something. Just the light is emanating from his head. But then you look at Harry. He's broken. Harry is not broken. It's like we all have different functions. We all look differently, but it's about the master using the utensil and what he uses the utensil for. And the spoon can't decide whether he wants to be a spoon that picks up the poo in the garden, or whether he wants to be the spoon in the colorful sugar that is there for those who are important. It's the master who decides that. And the master will attribute and use those in the spaces that he feels like this spoon is only for this way. You get what I'm saying? And so for us, we can't decide that. No, we need to say, like that scripture says, we need to bring ourselves to the place of where God can come and purify us so that we can be used for that which is honorable use. And that means that all of us are all standing on the same ground. All of us are standing in the same place on the same ground. And that gives me hope. So, I want to get into a scripture. Because it's about being available to God to use and being acceptable in God's hands. Amen? So, let's look at this. Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. The thing about the doorkeeper is, he's not even in the house. He's just standing at the door, opening it up. But that picture of dwelling in the tents of wickedness, it's actually when there is a sheik or a important person that would have a tent, and like all these servants, there would be a tent where they would invite people in, and there would just be the feast and all the pleasures and things that you possibly could want and hope for, and you would be invited into the tent and be able to just enjoy yourself. It's like one of those, what's those holidays that people go on? Like a boat, you know, like the boat cruise, or like a, it's a Club Med, like Casey books a lot of these, not for herself, for other people, but it's like you go and you have this all expenses, eat as much as you can, like this show, that show, it's just like, and so being that person that is invited into the tent of this important person, and you get to have everything at your heart desire, the psalmist is going, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 dwelling in the tents of the wickedness. Where I've got everything that my heart desires, that my heart wants to, I can fill my full and then some more. Better is that one day where I'm a doorkeeper in your house. So when we take that picture and we draw it towards vessels of honorable use and dishonorable use, we go like, actually, it's not about whether I'm a spoon, whether I'm gold, whether I'm silver. It's about whether the master has me in his hands. And whether the master looks at me and says, this one is one that is dear to me. This one is one that is precious to me. And I want to use this. And when I look at that, I go like, Lord, I want that for me. At the leaders camp, we had a Saturday morning. Sorry, I've like been very emotional all morning. It's like, but we were sitting on the... We're sitting in the room and just having worship. And there was like just this moment where everybody was just so in love with Jesus. Like, I don't know how else to say it. So looking like Nicole, I think it was Nicole, she mentioned when I asked her just, hey, how was the camp for you? She said, there was this moment of where I just saw love. And here I'm seeing a husband and a wife hugging each other. Or no, it was Melissa. Melissa, hey. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm seeing a husband hugging his wife. And yeah, I'm seeing someone picking up their child and kissing their child. And she's just going like, everywhere I look around, I'm just seeing love coming out of people and coming into people. And there was this moment that I looked at this situation that the Lord was doing. And I just like, Lord, in my heart, I'm going like, Lord, it doesn't matter to me whether I ever say anything again or preach or anything. But this is what I want my life to be about. I want to be my life that you would use it to open up your presence wherever you need me. I don't have to be the name on the stage. I don't have to be, even if I'm just a doormat and people step on that doormat with their dirty shoes, but something happens in them that as they step on that doormat, there's a sense of your presence. Then God, let that be my life. And it's something in that scripture where the psalmist is going like, actually, if I could be a doorkeeper in your house, God, one day is more than anything, like lifetimes anywhere else, in the best of hotels, in the best of places. And it overwhelmed me. And I believe for us that that desire in us to be used by Him is all that matters. And I know this, that there's not one of us in this room that don't have that desire in our hearts. There's not one. I know that there's many of us that are suppressing that desire. But you know that when when it's just you and your thoughts and your feelings in that room, when you, whether you're going to sleep or whether you wake up or whether it's in the middle of the night and you're just sitting alone with your thoughts, you know that there's a deep desire and a hunger to be a vessel of honorable use in the hands of the Master. Because that is what He made us to be. And I want us to actually say, Lord, come and do this in me. And then be willing to not suppress it, but to actually allow God to come and change and wash and purify the vessel, that it can be a vessel in His hands. Because that's what He gives us. That's the promise. That's what Jesus came to do, is to bring us to Him and to purify us so that we can be vessels of honorable use. See, the enemy knows that the way that we look at ourselves and the way that we look at others, we judge things according to the flesh. And he knows that one in that moment, when we see that thing of going, ah, it's not, or ah, I should actually be that person, or those attitudes and those ways of thinking, he knows that if he can just get us to catch onto that one thought, it becomes like a snowball that gets its own momentum, and it just keeps on rolling. And so we want it, but we also disqualify ourselves. And so, I want to say this to us. God is not looking for flashy. God is not looking for skill. God is not looking for knowledge. God is not looking for strength. God is not looking for someone that can speak English well or Afrikaans deliciously. No, God is looking for someone that actually sees who He is and realizes He is enough. And in His hands, it doesn't matter whether I'm enough or not enough. It's about Him. And we give over and surrender to Him. It's not what we can bring to God. It's us surrendering to Him. And then in His hands, He does what He wants to do. But whatever He does, I want to tell you, no man with no strength, with no finance, amount of finances, with no amount of knowledge, with no amount of skill, with no amount of wisdom, can ever even come close to what God can do with something small. And so that's where we need to find ourselves. And so I want to go into this. Luke 21, verse 1 to 4. And it's a picture that we all know very well, the story. And so it speaks of Jesus and says, "And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. That's 2 coins, basically. Okay, they say 2 mites. I'm reading out of the New King James. Sorry, that's just the NIV. And so he said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings to God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had." And so there's 3 things here that I want to point out to us as how God looks at things. Like how God judges the vessels, okay? So the first thing is this: God sees all. So when you go read this, also in Mark 12, it speaks of the same account. So when you look at this, it kind of like paints the picture that Jesus and the disciples were kind of like sitting and looking at what is happening in the temple. And what was happening in the temple is they had these bags or boxes that people would bring their offerings. And so you have wealthy and I'm sure everything else in between, but it kind of brings the two opposites here. How wealthy come in and they put their bags in. And I can just imagine if I'm not now trying to judge anyone, I can just go like people coming and they bring their money and the bags being put in and then people going, "Wow, praise God, look at what he's done." And I think it possibly could have been an amazing moment. And so the disciples are looking at what is happening and going like, "Wow, like just look at how God has provided." Amen? But then Jesus looks at it, and he doesn't just see the big. He actually takes note of the small. And the widow comes in, and in Mark 12, it actually says that Jesus calls the disciples. And as he calls the disciples, he kind of says to him, "Look at this, what is happening here." And so for us here this morning, I want to say to you that God is not interested in your abundance. Whether that abundance is big or whether the abundance is small. No, God is looking for your all. Whether you have much, God is looking for your all. Whether you have little, God is looking for your all. He sees all things. And he's so aware of it. And he takes note of every small thing that we give. And it's not about giving finances. I'm speaking about giving towards God and his purposes, like being obedient to him, listening to his voice, time spent with God, everything that we offer to God and say, "God, use this." God sees all. There's not one thing that escapes his vision or his eyes. But then this. Number 2, God's estimate of what is given is different than ours. I can imagine, like, as the money went into the boxes, you would hear the coins fall on the other coins because it's like whether it was, you know, I don't know what it was, but how it looked. But I can just imagine if they could judge that it was much, then they would be like when they put it down, everybody would take note of it. But here, if I then take out my 2 cents or my 2 coins and then just put it in, it doesn't really, in the midst of all the things that's going on, it doesn't really make a noise. But yet here Jesus comes and says, "I see that." And in seeing that, he says to them, "She has given more than anyone else." His estimate is not our estimate. So when we look at our own lives, when we look at who we are and what we have to give or what we have to bring, We tend to be like the disciples and the people in the temple that go, it needs to be much, it needs to be flashy, it needs to be well oiled, it needs to be rightly communicated. Point and case. But God says, no, no, no. His estimate is not that of a physical nature. It's not an outward nature. It's he sees the heart. And in seeing the heart, he goes, she has given all. And that all is important to think about. And that brings me to my third point. When God sees and when God looks and when he judges, he's not looking for amounts actually. He's looking for faith. When he saw that she gave all, the thing that he recognized in her is that she came and she gave with faith. Because why? She gave all that she had to live on. And in that moment, there is this moment of where she comes to God and she puts what she has and says, God, I trust you and I put this in your hands. You are the one that sustains me. You are the one that keeps me. And even if my mortal body and what I have to live on, I wither away because I have nothing left, I still know that I'm safe in your arms. It's seeing God for who he is and allowing God to come and take her cup and use it for honorable use. Now, this lady possibly didn't even know that Jesus pointed her out. Because it never says that he called her and said to her, oh, well done, good and faithful servant. But what he has done is her two coins on that day started resonating thousands of years forward where we are today. And it's going to resonate until the day that Jesus comes back. And on that day when Jesus comes back, I can imagine the scores of angels and believers that's going to look up and go, Jesus, where's the lady with the two mites? Where's the lady that gave everything? Man, her story changed my life. Because I realized I feel unimportant. I feel like I've got nothing to give. But because of her that gave it all, it broke me free and I could give it all. And today, here I stand. Because of something she showed of who you are. And I go, her two coins. In terms of investment, there is no investment as good as that. But yet here we come and we read the story and we hear these things and we go, oh, my two coins. It's not enough. It's not worthy. No, no. I'll just put it in my back pocket and man, I've got to eat. I've got to. But God is actually looking for faith. He's saying, trust in me. I'm your father. You are my children. How will I not take care of you? How will I not provide for you? It's been so amazing just over this leaders camp that we were about 106 people. And everyone on the camp went for free because God provided through different people in different ways. And even then when we go like, okay, we need to budget this thing so that we can really do it well, like Alda and myself working hard to just budget all the things. And then we start buying stuff, food and whatever else. And it just becomes cheaper. We shouldn't have any money left. We have money left. And I go like, hey, God actually provides for us for other things that we want to do. And yeah, I was just going like, Lord, let's get everyone on the camp. But God comes. And I'm telling you, for me, it was probably one of the best camps I've ever been on. And I've been on loads of camps. We ate like kings. And we had food left. After every meal, we had food left. We gave food away. And I go, that is the God who we serve. And I'm telling you the story not to make you feel like you missed out. Okay? And I'm sorry if you do feel that you've missed out. But I want to say to you, God loves His church. And He's the one that's building it. And each and every one of us that's sitting here this morning, He wants us as part of what He is doing. And so the encouragement for us this morning is to say, God, I want to be a vessel in Your hands of honorable use. Not of dishonorable use and not of no use. I want to be a vessel in Your hands. And so, God sees all. God's estimating of things and value is different than ours. And God is looking for faith. So, and I want to end off here. So now the question comes to us. Is how do we go from here? Because we've heard it now. And I know that the desire is in our hearts. But how do we go here from now? And that verse 22 in, if you can just put it up for me again there. In 2 Timothy says this. And I love the way it says this. It says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. It doesn't mean those who are young. It means it's to all of us. And all of us have places of immaturity and things that we are adults now and should be mature and not be drawn or pulled by those things anymore. But yet, we are. And we fall into them. It could be things like self-control. It could be things like anger. It could be things like swearing. It could be things like purity. And God is saying, actually, I want you to be mature men and women in the house of God. And so He's going like, anything that stimulates youthful lust, run away from it. Instead, pursue living righteous. That is not something that happens haphazardly. It is a course that I set myself on. It's a decision that I make to say, like, God, above all things, I'm gonna run this race. And if that temptation comes, God, I'm gonna do everything I can with every extremity and strength and willpower and people around me and devices and whatever I need in order to keep myself living and pursuing a righteous life. It is not going like, this temptation of this thing is here. And maybe it is to smoke or to vape or to watch something that you're not supposed to be watching. But it's to go like, I'm willing to take my TV away if it can keep me from staying in God's hands as a vessel that is there for pure use. If it's eating, it's going like, I need people around me to help me. If it's exercising, I'm struggling to get up to exercise, I've got all the willpower, like, get people around you. If it's praying, if it's reading your Bible, like, make it for yourself as difficult as possible to not do it. And go like, hey, Brett, I want to read Bible. I believe it's what God has for me, but I need you to help me. And so if you can phone me every single day and ask me, or WhatsApp me, don't necessarily phone, but I mean, just, you get what I'm saying. If you can ask me every single day, Rian, have you read your Bible? I'm going to give you an honest answer. And if I say to you no, then I want you to actually tune me about it. Because what I want, and while I'm thinking the right way, with my desire being a vessel in God's hands, I realize I need to get into the Word. I need to pray, or I need to stay away from that thing. So help me now. Because the moment is going to come when that temptation is there, and then I feel like I'm not going to see things clearly. So while I'm seeing things now, help me. That is pursuing a righteous living. Everything around us wants us to not do that. To just give in to what is natural and comes easy. I want to say to you, falling to youthful lusts, and you don't even have to try, it just happens. But we have been called to fight. We have been called to stand. Because we're running after being a vessel in God's hands. We want to be used by Him. And I'm not saying that any of us here, and I'm looking at myself first, I can tell you now, I'm not perfect at all. Ask Helen, ask my family. I've got many faults. But I know this, that I'm trying everything I can to pursue righteousness. And that's the call for all of us, because the thing that's deep burning in my heart is not to be an elder, is not to be a preacher, a worship leader, a church leader. No, the thing that is burning in my heart is, God, I want to be a doorkeeper in your house. That's it. It's about His eyes and His delight, not about my name and what I'm able to do. And so for us, I believe that this morning is the place that God is calling us to. This morning we absolutely just felt like we exalted Jesus in this place. Scripture says this to us, that where Jesus is exalted, He draws all men to Him. So there's an opportunity for all of us here this morning to actually take this vessel that maybe is dirty and maybe have been knocked around, and we're able to come and bring this vessel and bring it to Him. A couple of weeks ago, we heard this thing of Jesus and His nature is that He doesn't break a bruised reed. He doesn't snuff out a smoldering wick. No, He cares for them. And so whatever the vessel looks like, whatever the utensil looks like, I want to say to you, it's not so far gone. Even if you feel like, man, it's waiting to fall apart. I want to say to you, it's not fallen apart enough yet for Jesus to say, this thing I'm not touching. No. He's saying, come. Come to me. And so maybe if we can just close our eyes, Quivers, if you can... morning, Adam sent me a picture.